Hi there, this is Loria Chews of Four Leg Rehab Incorporated, your place for online canine rehab education. So, it's been a while since I've done an audio for you guys, and so I wanted to do another business marketing audio for you, and I guess this one is a bit, I didn't know what to call it, a clinic confessional or a state of the union where things are at. From a business perspective, for me, and just even to look back in time at what I've done and where I am looking going forward. So, anyway, that's what we're here for. So, you know, as we know, making change, pardon me, is not easy. But if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you've always gotten. So, from that perspective, as a bit of a confessional, you know, honestly, and I think most of us are knowing this, but a canine rehab business, and especially mortar and bricks, is hard to get going, okay? Hard to pay off all of the overhead that you would start with, in those things, and especially, like I said, especially mortar and bricks, it can be really hard to make it go and to get started. So as a confessional, it took my business partner and I, it took us 7 years to pay off our startup loan because, you know, it's a slow start and growth was slow. It's not like you open a Starbucks and everybody understands what that is. And they say, oh yeah, I like coffee, I'll go. You know, canine rehab, what? You know, dogs have a drinking problem, ha ha ha. So, you know, it was slow. And the other thing too is we have always run our business with our heart, okay? And because we were passionate about this and passionate about the care of the dogs. And there are certain pros to this approach. And in that we could always do what was in the patient's best interest, and whether that meant spending more time with the neuro patients and not charging them as much because they need to come more often and, you know, they couldn't afford it and such. It did definitely establish great community support and many, many lifelong clients. And we had really have always been able to focus on quality care versus, you know, nickel and diming for every little thing. But of course, the con in that is that this yields very low profit margins. So what has come up for me, my partners in the clinic is, you know, we had a few major repairs come up in the spring. Our poor old treadmill is now, you know, 9.5 years old, and he's suddenly deciding that, oh, I'd like a new belt. I'd like a new... Anyways, we've had to sink a whole pile of money into the treadmill. We've had some other repairs come up. We had a wee patch of mold. Had nothing to do with the treadmill. It had to do with a leaking washing machine. Anyways, we had to fix that. Then the dryer crapped out. We had to buy another dryer. It has been a never-ending money drain this spring. So anyways, it really has set us back financially. And because of our low profit margins, we really don't have much of a buffer. So here we sit at this point looking at how we can become more cost effective and what we might be able to do for financial restructuring. So I wanted to share some of what we've done, some of what we're thinking, because maybe you would find this helpful for you in your practice, in your particular situation. So what I have learned from courses I've taken is if you want to make more money, you have a few options. You can increase your prices. You can increase the number of customers you have coming in. You can increase the frequency of their visits. You can increase their transaction size, meaning that you're selling them more products, and you can decrease costs. So we can think about looking at those. What I've learned from books, recently I just finished I was reading, but really this one was one of those listening to while driving back and forth to work. So listening to a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. And it talks about how, you know, good businesses could become great businesses and what great businesses did that stood out from all the other good businesses. So one of the things that they had noticed in all of the businesses that were great is that many of them became great by stopping doing some things that didn't make a profit. And they talk about, you know, an 80-20 rule in that 20% of the things that you do, there's 20% of the things that you work on, you focus on, that make you 80% of your profit. And so if you cut out some of those other things that don't make you that high-end profit, perhaps you can focus more on the things that do make you the profit, and to help, you know, increase your business, improve your business. They also talk about sticking with one thing that works well. Many of these companies had what they called a hedgehog concept, and basically describe this, you know, as you have a fox, and a fox is crafty and he does all sorts of different things, but you know what? Foxes don't always get the food at the end of the day, and sometimes they're hunted down and it doesn't end out well. However, a hedgehog, you know, he has one defense mechanism, and that is he curls up in a ball and he becomes essentially unedible because of his prickly spines poking out. So he can walk across a field and the fox might try to eat him, and oh well, nope, he doesn't want to do that because he gets poked by the prickles. So the next time the fox sees the hedgehog, well, I'm not going to go near that. So he has stuck with the one thing he's good at, it and it works great for him. So where they take that is really looking at, well, what can you be great at? What, and this really ties into things I've talked about before, is niching, right? But what can you really be great at? And look at really capitalizing on that. And then they said, if you want to try and figure out this, he says, if you have three circles, and in one circle, you write all the things that you're good at. There's all the things, well, we do this, we do this, we do this, we're good at this, 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 and that. In your next circle, you would have all the things that you're passionate about, okay? And dogs are barking in the background. Anyway, sorry. What are all the things you're passionate about? So what are the things you just, oh, you really want to make a change in this aspect or a different aspect? And you write down those things in another circle. And then your third circle would be what makes you the most money. Okay, so where does your profit lie? And essentially where those three circles intersect, or the things that come up in each of those circles, if you look at those, then that's what you should be focusing on. That should be your hedgehog concept. So that's something that actually I need to sit down and really think. I have an idea about it, but I think it'd be good as an exercise to do with my business partners and perhaps the staff and the other therapists in general, just to sort of see if we're all kind of coming together on the same page. Now, with some of that in mind, we've already implemented a few changes. So we have looked at pay restructuring, so how we're paying therapists, how we're paying our staff, and we've made some changes there. We have already shortened our booking times, or essentially it's the time between patients, so that we can actually accommodate more patients in a day. So we have implemented that already. We have increased the prices on some products. So we do sell some supplements, just glucosamine kind of stuff that I think is appropriate to have in conjunction with rehab. So we have increased price on one of our top selling products. And we've also looked at at striving for consistency in practice amongst the therapists, so that all of our clients are receiving a similar service and experience, and all of the referring vets receive consistency and are reporting back to them. And so some of that is just making sure that we are increasing the number of notes that go back to the referring veterinarians so that they're thinking of us more often. We want to increase the amount of discharges that we do. One, so that we can send a note back to the referring veterinarian to say, you know, we accomplished what we set out with this, but also then to progress these patients to a point where we say, okay, you are done active rehab for this particular problem. So let's say it's your post-op cruciate, but you know, you are more than welcome to come back on a semi-regular basis, and we can just do a wellness checkup. And I love to get the clients progressed from active rehab to a maintenance status where we just kind of see them, and it depends on the dog and the owner, but maybe we're seeing them once every 3 months. Some of the older dogs, some back troubles and joint problems, we're seeing them once a month and sometimes more frequently, but they're on a maintenance schedule. So we want to get them to that point of discharge so that they can become maintenance clients. We want to increase the frequency of visits, or rather decrease the time between visits. And some of that is just a mindset. So if I'm thinking, okay, I would love to see this dog maybe within 2 or 3 weeks. And what I find is I kind of sometimes have to control myself from saying, okay, I'd like to see him 2 to 3 weeks, because really, I don't want it to be 3 weeks or longer. So what I have learned to say instead is, you know, I'd love to see your dog back maybe 10 days, you know, 2 weeks, so that whatever I think, I don't tell them what my long range outside number is. I tell them what my inside number is. So, you know, if I'd like to see him within a week or two, you know what, I'd like to see him within a week if that's possible. And if it is possible, they'll come in. And if not, then hopefully we're going somewhere in the 10 days. But it just kind of snugs up that time between the appointments. And I think you get them better, faster, and you also get a more committed owner. And they're more engaged in the whole process. So that's one thing. And then also consistency in client reactivation strategies, and just going through and seeing, have we had any clients drop off? And we're making sure that they get the callbacks and the emails saying, you know, just checking up on how you're doing. You know, if you can give us a quick update, that would be great. If you have any questions, let us know. Which really works great for bringing back some of these clients who, you know, they get busy, they forget to book the appointment, time goes by, and then they start to feel bad about booking in. So sometimes just to give them a little nudge to say, hey, you know, don't forget to, you really should come back. Sparky can likely use treatment. So those are some of the, those are some of the things we've already done. So looking ahead, what we're looking at is different things. So I've put them into kind of categories. So one is looking at how can we better leverage our time. Okay, so what we've looked at is really the most profitable days are those that occur when we have two streams of income. So for example, there's two therapists on staff, or one therapist and a full day of underwater treadmill. So those tend to be the profitable days. If we've got two people working to bring in streams of revenue, that seems to be best. So maybe we need to try and snug up the days that we offer. So just a thought. We also look and think, well, we likely could do some group classes, and whether we do some group, and I would really like to do geriatric exercise type stuff. I think that would be excellent way to leverage that you've got, you know, one therapist or maybe one therapist and an assistant, and you've got a class doing perhaps exercises or different things. So that could be something useful. Another idea we had was the sporting dog quickie checkups. So quickie in that they would only be booked in for a 15-minute session, and we would basically, you know, say, okay, you know, the therapist is going to come, do the assessment, do any manual therapy that needs to be done, and then maybe show you some spots that you can laser on your dog. And then, you know, as the therapist sets up the laser, shows the owner, here's the spots I want you to laser. And these would be for clients who have been coming for a while and they're sporting dogs, so they kind of know the drill. And then they can do the laser and the therapist heads off to the next client. And so we'd be able to get in more, clients within that entire time frame. We've also tried to figure out how can we better leverage the use of our assistants. So that could be other ways that we can use our assistants to help so that the therapist could actually see more cases. Then we also look at, well, are there ways that we can increase our transaction size? And for us, one of these is basically the sale of the supplements and nutraceuticals. And so one of the strategies we're looking at is just to make sure that all of our staff members are knowledgeable about the products we carry. And we only really carry two main products that we like for as joint supplements. But we need all of the staff members to be aware and can answer questions about them. And two, to get into a habit of, one, for the therapist to talk to the clients about, okay, now is your dog on any supplements for joint health or anything like that? And to have that conversation. But also for my front end staff to get in the habit of asking when, you know, the client is checking out, is there anything else you need today? Did you need any supplements or anything else? And if it becomes that routine, kind of like when you go to a fast food restaurant and you say, you know, I'd like this kind of burger and fries and this kind of a drink, and they say, okay, that's good. You know, is there anything else with that, or did you also want a dessert? You know, just by asking it, they get a certain percentage to actually say yes, or a certain percentage that perhaps remember that, oh my goodness, yes, in our case, I did need to buy supplements. Or no, what kind of supplements do you carry? So it's a simple change, but it has to become routine with all staff members. Alrighty, number three, we need to look at adopting smart booking tactics to reduce idle time and shorten, you know, whether we need to shorten the assistant work hours if they're not busy, but just so that we're not booking and having these huge gaps in a day. We need to certainly be more efficient about, you know, if we see that there's somebody booked at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, then the next person who calls, we can say, well, I have a 4:20 or a 5:40. Would either of those work for you? And try and get our bookings a little more consolidated. We are also thinking then, number four is we need to look at ways to make up for lost revenue on stat or civic holidays. Because at least here in Canada, on some of these stat holidays, well, one, you lose the revenue, but two, you actually have to pay staff for stat holidays. So not only are we losing revenue, but we're actually having to pay staff to not be there. Lovely, quirky Canadian rules. So we need to figure out then, either we need to be open on the civic holidays, or we need to look at, you know, if we've got this holiday coming up, are there other days or extended hours that we could work to make up for that lost revenue. We have, number five, we have an exercise area in the back that we rent out in evenings. And it used to be that they were renting it out for 3 hours. And then what it got to is they were renting it out for 1 hour on a Monday and 1 hour on a Tuesday. And when we started crunching the numbers, it's like, oh my God, we actually lose money when they come in for the rate we had been charging them, because we now need staff to clean up 2 days a week, put away all of the exercise equipment that we normally use for rehab, plus then whatever additional costs that we incur, because perhaps we have a higher heating bill, they're using water, they're using toilet paper, to name a few things, that, you know, we then are paying more money for them just to be there for an hour. So we're going to have to look at doing something like whether we have a 2-hour minimum or we have a rate that you rent it for the entire evening and we decide what that is. 2.5 hours perhaps we call an evening. And that it's a minimum. You have to do that. And I think that would make sense. Number 6, we need to look then at whether we reduce what we have available. So whether we're cutting days or hours or having creative working schedules for, especially for our staff and our underwater treadmill assistants. Basically, and like I said, the trying to squeeze things in so that when we have 2 streams of income is really when it's most profitable for us to be open or makes the most sense, or we actually make a profit, period, and don't just break even. And then lastly was number 7, but this is going to take a little bit more effort and manpower and building of stuff, but would be looked at whether we did old dog or post-operative dog daycare. So not a daycare where dogs run around and injure each other and pee on stuff. Oh my God, I can't stand that. And it would drive me crazy. But old dog or post-operative dog. So the people that, you know, their dogs had the surgery and they've got to go back to work and they're freaked out because their poor dog cannot, you know, get in and out and he needs help to go out to the bathroom and now they can't use the doggy door. And those would be excellent cases, I think, that from a rehab standpoint and having a physical location that we could accommodate. So, and then of course, you know, if they're there and even if, then we could do therapy on them. And as well, the old dogs, we could do, you know, they could do underwater treadmill or land treadmill, or they could get a laser session that day. So that could be something that we've could look to doing in the future. So that's what I've come up with. I've just had another thing come in through my inbox about, you know, 8 income generating strategies that you can implement now. And I was quickly reading it. Oh, can I add something to this? And I'm like, no, I really got to sift through that a little bit more. But my bottom line is I'm still learning. I am still learning on this. And I think, you know, we all are. You know, in fact, I'm signed up with 2 different marketing courses or, you know, memberships that come into my inbox weekly or are mailed to me monthly. I listen to books on tape. I read. And like the rest of you, I struggle too. So really, you know, we're all in this together and trying to figure out how best to make it work, because this is new. It's new for all of us. So that's what I've got to tell you today. Anyways, I would really love to hear your comments, your ideas, your ahas, your struggles, all of that. So, you know, definitely drop me a line and let's see if maybe we can work some of this out together. So until next time, cheers.